Betsy Ann Thomas here for the American Intelligence Media. We are the voices of America. Today, Thomas Paine in the ass of the globalists got up and said, fire up the recorder, Betsy. I have a few things to say about Trump's reelection.
Well, I want to remind people that even after the election that's going to go on, this attack of Trump is the last ditch attempt of the Democrats to hold their party together, showing full well and revealing full well that they are a party of fraud. They are the opposite of everything they say, and that their kindergarten political attempts are now becoming commonplace. It used to be that those attacks of the Washington, D.C. elites and the mainstream media could take someone's political career down in a day. One remark, one false report, one anonymous source, and the person's gone. I can name dozens of cases like that. One single case. What with Trump, we're talking about nonstop for 4 years, every single day. And what do they have found? Nothing. So they had to resurrect recently because we're now, you know, Democrats don't really know how to even read the calendar. They thought the October surprises should start, you know, a year ago. And they're blowing it because an October surprise, by its inherent nature, has no substance. It's only the splash. It's the narrative. It's the tail that wags the dog. And in the end, you always find out that the big scam that took somebody down politically oftentimes never happened. Matter of fact, it was usually the opposite. So let's go into some of the things they've done recently and are doing recently, which make us, we don't even have to have conclave meetings. We sit back and laugh. All we do is call each other up and laugh. Because why? Everything we predicted has come to pass times 10. Plus, again, remember, astrologically speaking, Trump is not clear of this nonsense until the end of December. Okay, he's going to have to fight this. So we had predicted that there would be, of course, a George Soros attempted accusation of fraud in the election. Well, there's already been fraud. Here's what's going to happen. And I'll go to the thing I was going to talk about in a minute. But first, they're mailing out ballots to only Democrats. Well, when the recount comes and the subpoenas come, they're going to know who they mailed them to. And the fraud will be proven by their actions. And we can see that this is happening all over the country, and especially in Democrat-run cities and states. They mail out infinite ballots so that the Democrats, the illegal aliens who are Democrats and many others who are not truly registered, will send in their vote by mail and then they'll go in person and vote again. Why? Because they're not even on the rolls. Let's remember these. These are votes of people who are not on the rolls that they're going to count. And because they'll take it to the last second, just like they did in the Florida election and the 17 other contested elections in 2016, they simply will keep counting the ballots that they're harvesting that are sitting in the trucks outside, one package at a time, until they get the number that they want. And then it will be too late to actually verify it. So the verification will come from the George Soros-elected Secretary of State, which we've already pointed out that's been put in place. And he spent more money on getting Democratic Secretary of States elected than practically any other candidates.
What I reminded folks in a recent CAT report is that one of the strategies they use in rigging the elections is that they do most of the rigging in cyberspace. Now, we've talked about this man in the middle, a system that they have where votes are literally changed in cyberspace before they reach their final destination point for counting. And also a system that Optech uses, and this is run by George Soros, Mark Malik Brown, and of course the Romneys. And I'm including the Romney family on this one. And what that system does is fractionalize the voting. So you go in thinking you're casting a full vote, but if you're a Republican, your vote only counts maybe 3/4. And if you're a Democrat, it might even count 4 times, who knows what. But what they do in cyberspace is try to get that vote as close as possible so that, and remember, they've already programmed you through the fake polls that there's a possibility, for example, that Joe Biden could win, although our eyes tell us differently when we see the crowds for Joe Biden versus the president. See, their polls keep pushing this lie. So then when they rig the elections in cyberspace, well, you go, I guess those polls were right. And then with that small margin, that's when they push their rigging system with the mail-in ballots and count as many as they need until they win. So I certainly hope that if citizens out here know about that system, that whoever Trump has assigned for election integrity is at the very least looking at this problem that's occurring in cyberspace.
Absolutely, Betsy. And Michael McKibben and the white hats that he was aware of and some that we were aware of got involved in the 2016 election to freeze those cells so that the numbers can be changed. Now, we have already so much election fraud that has happened in the primaries, and we got to see the election fraud in 2016. We got to see the Eric Schmidt donation of $1.5 billion to get Hillary elected and didn't work. We get to see that they tried everything they could in 2016, but they were too smug then. They actually thought that they were intelligent and that they were hiding it and that nobody knew who Hillary was. Well, that isn't what happened, is it? And even with the 11 million illegal alien votes, she still didn't win. And they're not going to win this time. Because when the recount comes, it will already have many lawsuits against the Secretary of States, against these particular Democratic states, you know, Democratic, it's demo, like demolition. That's what they're doing. They're burning up the cities to create fear so that they try to keep Republicans from going to the polls. Because generally, Republicans go to the polls because they really like to vote. They like their right of voting. And they're going to this time. But now what they have not counted on is that there are other Republicans out there that are matching the insanity, or what I would call the kindergarten methodology that has backslidden into preschool methodology that you see from the Biden campaign, where you have a person with Alzheimer's. This is actually geriatric abuse. When he leaves the basement, he doesn't know who he is, folks. He doesn't know whether he is Joe Biden or Joe Biden's wife or the husband of Joe Biden. He doesn't know what office he's running for. That's what we're working with.
The problem I have is that certainly the Democrats know that Joe has dementia, so they know this. And they also know that Kamala Harris is not eligible to hold the office of vice president and president. She is clearly not a natural born citizen. So why are they doing this? Why are they running such flawed candidates? And I can't help but think that this is their October surprise. In October, when both candidates are busted up, then you've got Hildebeest or others coming in and saying, hey, we're here to save the day. We will step in and be the candidates for the Democrat Party. I mean, something's up with that. They can't be that stupid to know that their candidates are that flawed.
They have no other candidates. You have to be a grotesque base liar who doesn't know history if you want to be a Democrat, period. If you don't know that the Democrat Party is the most racist party in America ever, maybe in, you know, besides fascism and socialism, democratic socialism in other countries, there's never been a party that was more racist than the Democrats. And Joe Biden is one of the most racist Democrats I've ever encountered. And Kamala Harris already claimed to be the first Asian Indian woman in the Congress. Now she's going to claim to be the first Black woman in the White House. This is all how bad it is. That's why it's preschool. They say these things and they think, and they're correct, that their Democrat followers are so stupid that they'll believe it. And then what do? The Democrat followers go out and do the exact opposite. Black lives matter. Well, how about the Black lives that they've killed who are policemen? How about the Black Lives Matter people who were massive criminals who resisted arrest and in one case died of a fentanyl overdose, and yet that's the new hero? These are the same methods used by Trotsky, by Lenin, by Stalin, and they were promoted by Marx and Engels, and they all of those people were trained in Britain. They were all given the brainwashing and the indoctrination of the Pilgrim Society. And who is it that's fanning the flames? Well, as Trump has said, he's going to go after the very, very rich people who aren't smart. They're not smart at all. I think he even called them names. But he said the very rich people who are hiding, who are paying these Antifa people to come out on the street and to burn America down. Now, who are those people? That's who the Democrats, the Democrat governors and mayors, released from prison. George Soros needed more criminal people to join Antifa and Black Lives Matter. So now they get out of prison. they go to a certain site. George Soros sends them a card, and that card gets loaded up with money every time that they go out on the streets in Portland or Seattle or Minnesota.
And don't forget that a lot of the ones that are being arrested are public school teachers.
The white, straight ones, yes, those are the worst people we have. Those are the indoctrinators, the propagandists. Those are our teachers who are teaching our children that type of racial hatred and racial profiling, and also critical race theory, which Trump has now literally written an executive order against it. You cannot teach that America is racist when we are the bastion of anti-racism. You cannot abnegate our entire history and cancel the culture that's there, even if you pull down the monuments. So the reality is they're using preschool methods now in their attempt to attack Trump, like the recent attack saying that he had said those things about military. We have leaders of other countries who were there who say that that is untrue. We have everyone coming to Trump's defense, except the same generals who he had to fire, who might have been one of the four anonymous sources in the Atlantic article. Well, anyone who would believe that is an idiot. But what does it do? It fuels the flames of the preschool Democrats who wish to burn down America. Now, we don't care who they vote for. They can vote for a pig. Matter of fact, a pig might have a better chance than Biden or Kamala Harris to do a good job in the White House.
Hey, Douglas, I'm so pleased. Look who dropped in to say hi. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. But actually, I didn't see a lot of Douglas this weekend because he was working on, he was reading Eustace Mullen's book, and he summarized some great passages that I know he's just dying to tell you about, which segue perfectly in all of those amazing updates you gave on the Rockefeller Foundation.
Well, I just came in while Douglas was talking about rewriting education and rewriting history. And if I could throw 2 cents in there, when we were working in the Soviet Union with this gospel music group I was in, what we noticed is that very matter, the Soviets completely tried to rewrite their history, which is long. I mean, we're talking several thousand years. And they specifically focused on taking out of the mentality of any of the younger people any sense of their history, especially their Christian history, and they were rewriting everything. So by the time we met these people, the whole culture had become quite cynical, and what we saw is an across-the-board belief that nothing they read officially was true, and they famously said they got experts at reading between the lines. And finally, that whole system collapsed. And I think that that's what I'm hoping we can avoid in this country.
And your research recently, but first, I like your remark because it smells of the stench of communism. And the stench of communism abnegates free will. It abnegates the I am. And religion teaches people who they are and who the I am is and who the great I am is, or who, whatever they want to consider the divine to be. And of course, we see that in America. You can't even go to church now. And who made that nonsense? The very people, those uniparty Washington, D.C. elite who voted for the pandemic laws, right, all of which need to be canceled today, because they are insane. And if anyone even knew they existed, and no one seems to know except us, because we're the only ones saying a word about the fact that we must look at the laws that they're using to do this to us, and we must change them, because no one would agree to them who had a single lick of sense. Now, what you have proven is what I was just harping on, which is not only George Soros, but the Ford Foundation, the Pilgrim Society is actually ruling it, and those people who are in the Pilgrim Society happen to be the fake charitable leaders of foundations, which really don't help anybody except themselves for personal self-aggrandizement. Now, the genius of your research is that you have proven and got the evidence to show that the Pilgrim Society is running as a charitable organization. They must be closed down for fraud. George Soros must be closed down for fraud, and the Ford Foundation and the Tides Foundation and Open Society Foundation and all the ones that we know But more so than that, and as we pointed out, the Gates Foundation, simply self-enrichment. All their donations in their foundation are self-enrichment. Same would be true with Hillary Clinton. They don't do anything with their money but steal it from the people who give it to them. It's kind of like a tax. It's like the British Crown Agent tax. It's the Hillary and Bill Clinton tax on everybody. But the other foundation, like the Carnegie Foundation and all these, you know, Carnegie Foundation for International Peace. No, all they did was create international war. And as Eustace Mullins points out, and I didn't know this, and then we're going to get on to the very specific foundation and the nastiest people in America, some of the nastiest people who are representatives of Brits, by the way, and you can prove this. What we're going to see now is that Trump is going to go after them because they need to close those 501c3s down because of the proof of what they did during this election. Plus, they are liable. Now, what are they liable for? Along with the mayors and the governors, they're liable for the deaths of people, not just destruction of property, deaths. And now what you have shown is amazing. If these foundations are running under the guise of nonpartisan 501c3s, well, they're not. And as Eustace Mullins says, and you check me on this one, this is amazing, amazing. Ford Foundation, but it started off with the Peabody Foundation, took all their money for the company and put it in a foundation. So their company is run by the foundation, and 90% of their assets are held in a, basically it's like a trust, but really he calls it a syndicate, and that the money is held there so that they can't be taxed. Well, you have found the nastiest people. I call them Rottenfellers. The Rottenfellers of America are some of the most corrupt that there is out there, and you have ripped it to pieces with your miners and the research. Tell us about just how bad the Rockefellers really are.
Yeah, we can now see their annual reports going all the way back to their foundation and founding, and I think that was in like the early 20s, I believe. And more recently, we've been able to see their tax returns since about the year 2000. And the returns themselves grew. And what we saw in the later tax returns is a massive amount of investing by the foundation in organizations that we're now very familiar with. But in addition to that, we see a massive set of holdings in offshore bank accounts, which would be British. And you got to ask yourself, well, if these people are enjoying the tax-free status of a 501c3 designation, then that means their activities must be benefiting all Americans and not Americans of a particular party. That's the whole rule. That's the only reason you're supposed to be able to get a 501c3 designation, is because you're not partisan. You're not benefiting one group over another. So that very fundamental aspect of that foundation is clearly broken just by looking at their financial reports. And when you start tracking back their involvement, what we have just discovered, and this came out in a FOIA by Citizens United, provided to us about 2 or 3 years ago, a summary of the activities of a particular event that occurred in the summer of 2009. And it was the gala of the Clinton Global Initiative. And the initiative was specifically bringing together many foundations, banks, educational institutions, individual investors, tech funds, and they were specifically shaking down. I mean, you can't describe it any other way. The Clintons were shaking down these organizations for massive amounts of investing in a clearly liberal leftist agenda, and they were getting them to commit on the spot for $1 million here, $10 million there, $30 million there. And involved in that organization is a group of companies that were never listed. And so it's been really difficult to figure out who was there. But this particular document, which is quite large, actually has the names and the companies of the people that were participating in this event, which, by the way, occurred only months after the Clinton Global Initiative was actually formed. And now we can see from the crime line a whole set of events that were occurring in 2009 after Barack Obama gained power and Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State. And literally 2 days after the end of this Clinton Global Initiative event, 3 days, sorry, Douglas, I got to be precise here. 3 days after that event, Hillary ordered a contract with Facebook, the first of about seven, where Facebook would build an election rigging template. Now, I got to point out now that we've discovered this event. Included in that event was International Crisis Group, which was quite prominent in that group. And as we now know, International Crisis Group was founded by George Soros and Lord Mark Malik Brown, who had been Deputy Secretary General of the UN. And we now know owned Smartmatic, which is an election system headquartered out of the UK, now run by Tag Romney, George Romney, Mitt Romney's son. And we see that this was the software that was embedded in all election machines in the U.S. and was ordered so by the Department of Justice during the Obama time. And so what we see in this involvement is clear evidence of many things, including obstruction of justice in our case, because this event was occurring while we were suing Facebook for patent infringement, I might add. But that's not even the main point here. The main point here is that this Clinton Global Initiative meeting was some sort of watershed moment for the New World Order folks, because clearly Hillary felt quite confident about cutting this private deal with Facebook and thus violating the law in our case, because they wanted to use Facebook to implement this global system. And what is, and here's the real kicker here. I think I texted you about this yesterday. The eureka occurred when we realized that this particular Clinton Global Initiative, where Barack Obama was the chief speaker, the main speaker, appears to be another type of Marshall Plan. And it appears to be the New World Order Marshall Plan to finish off the work that they had done earlier to unify the banking system and the healthcare system and the educational system. And this was going to be their push to the summit. And that's why I think we saw such arrogance in Facebook during our case, where they knew what the outcome was going to be because they had already cut a deal with Hillary to write election rigging software that would complement what had been done earlier by the International Crisis Group and George Soros and Lord Mark Malik Brown in the Smartmatic voting machine and the OpTech software that's now embedded in all machines, not just the Smartmatic machine.
Yes, and Dmitry Shevelenko did his work in India, which makes him a foreign agent. But who paid for it? The United States government, we the people, taxes paid for it through the GSA with three different payments that you found the evidence for. Now, it's hard to ignore that evidence when it's stuck in their face. Plus, a minute ago, I did not mention Wellcome Trust, one of the largest. And you always point out to me that, you know, they're huge, too. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are giving away untold amounts of money. And if you follow it, you follow the exact thing that you're talking about. Now, when we think about Hillary, George Soros put up the money, endless money. Matter of fact,
may I inject
Barack Obama,
something here?
The chosen one.
When you say George Soros put up the money, what are you referring to?
Put up the money to the Democratic Party illegally. And That's the reason we have never seen the DNC's server, because on it was the proof of the illegal campaign funding done by George Soros and the fact that George Soros was giving direct orders to John Podesta of what to do in the campaign.
Yes.
And this is why WikiLeaks was such a key thing, because when those documents were taken as a breach from the Democratic National Committee, they had two sides on them. One showed the money and the other one showed the political scamming that was going on.
Yeah, there's an additional piece of this that's just come out this weekend, and that is James W. Breyer, who was the chairman of Facebook at the time. He was the first venture capital funder in Facebook that we know of. It's likely he wasn't, but I digress. He was the chairman of the National Venture Capital Association as well. In 2009, at this Clinton Global Initiative meeting, he was a prominent player in organizing the meeting through his company, Excel Partners. And what has just been discovered in the Rockefeller Foundation financials for the companies that they invested their monies in, and we're talking billions of dollars, there are a set of nine companies, including Excel Partners, IDG, Excel Partners India. And it is for a relatively small amount of money, I'd say less than $1 million, which isn't that interesting. Just so happens to be the amount of money that Hillary paid to Facebook. So it looks like, in addition to the money that Hillary was paying Facebook, the Rockefeller Foundation was providing Facebook through Excel Partners, their chairman, additional funds for building these templates. Because when you look at the amount of money that Hillary was paying, that wasn't enough to do a lot of programming. We're talking probably less than $1 million total. Well, when you're doing a major project like that, we know how much it took to build the software for Facebook. And so you don't get a lot for that. So it looks like the Rockefeller Foundation was paying Excel Partners and Facebook through an a subsidiary, which is now disclosed on their 2011 financial statement, which wasn't shown on the 2009 financial statement. So that organization was invested in at some point after that. So there's probably a correlation.
Yes, and as Hillary had been chosen by George Soros to not be the president, because he had chosen the person that I like to use his real name, Barry Sumbarka. That's really, Barack Hussein Obama. That's not his name. But anyway, George Soros chose him through the CIA, because he was already being handled by Valerie Jarrett and the CIA that had implanted itself into the Chicago mob boss scene, the mafia there in Chicago, which his wife, Michelle Obama, was already working for Valerie Jarrett. And of course, she too has a fake degree from Harvard, just like Barry. So anyway, what happened was George Soros said, well, I would like my CIA agent, Barry Sumbarka, to be the president. Sorry, Hillary, you have to take a step back. But as you do, you can set up your emolument payments from every single country in the world to you as the Secretary of State, with the promise that when you're the president, you'll go even further.
Can I interrupt you there? Because what we're noticing now is that it's very likely that the Secretary of State's position has been the coveted position of the Pilgrim Society, with the president on top of that, but most of the heavy lifting inside the government being done by the Secretary of State. And that appears to be the case since Elihu Root in the late 1800s, in the 1890s, when he was Secretary of State and then went on to be one of the co-founders of the Pilgrim Society. And he was also the chief attorney for the Carnegie Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation in the time before World War I. So we see a succession of secretaries of state who all spoke about peace and then organized war throughout the 20th century and into the 21st century. So Hillary may have always been planned to be the Secretary of State, and the game on top of whether she or Obama was president was probably Kabuki theater in my studied view now.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. And this is musical chairs. That's what happens when you're Secretary of State, and then you become the Secretary of War, and then the Secretary of Defense, and then you become the, you get put on the war board. And then, so all the way back, we have people who know nothing about any of these jobs that they're being placed in, and yet they are groomed and placed in these positions only right after they have the indoctrination and the brainwashing through the Tavistock Institute type training, whether it's the London School of Economics or whichever group we want. But I want to go back and just say that we know that Obama was a CIA agent because he sealed his records. They're still sealed to this day. And his whole library is still sealed because it's sitting somewhere at the University of Chicago waiting for him to get a place to put it. And George H.W. Bush, the only other president I know, who sealed his records. How do you seal your records when you're the top public agent in America? And remember, Baby Bush sealed the records for his election campaign because he took so much money from the CIA-operated Enron, which, of course, went south. And McCain took tons of money from the Keating Five. He was the leader of the Keating Five. Most of them went to jail, but McCain went right on to continue with the McCain Institute, another foundation, to control and manipulate through huge investments, in some cases, from Russians and other enemies.
Douglas, what do you say then of Mike Pompeo? He was CIA, he's senior executive service, and he's sitting there at the State Department, and I have not heard him speak up about the Pilgrim Society or the senior executive service. Or you remember, he says that if you know of foreign interference in our election, you need to send him that right away. And then we found out that the middle person he's got in charge of it is senior executive service. So is Mike Pompeo a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, I like what Eustace Mullen says, and it's absolutely proven by what you just posted, which was on the Cat Report. You posted Peter Strzok giving his alibi. Now, Eustace Mullen says that the richest families in the world always have an idiot in the family who cannot do the banking because they can't do the numbers, and so they put them in the CIA. And the CIA is there to control corporate interests, both in America and particularly abroad. And so anytime you say CIA, and that includes Bill Barr, it includes Henry Kissinger, it includes Pompeo, it includes anybody, John Brennan, anybody who ever was in the CIA is a lying piece of corrupt manure because they didn't blow the whistle on the illegal activities, which is all the CIA ever does. The CIA, name anything the CIA has ever done that's been good. No, no such thing. CIA was the OSS, which was SIS, which is British, 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 British. It is the Pilgrim Society. It is the British imperialists who have taken over this country through the SES, the Senior Executive Service, which is nothing more than an intelligence group that has been placed in all 56 federal agencies. Same as always, and they're either propaganda, and remember, when you say CIA, you say mainstream media. So when you look at Anderson Cooper, you look at Brzezinski's daughter, what's her name?
Mika.
These are idiots of the family who couldn't do anything but read the prompter. And so they go out and they are the liars. They're the propagandists. And they don't even know what they're saying.
And don't forget her husband. He's the one that is alleged to have murdered Lori Klausoutis. Sorry if I butchered that. When he was a representative. And of course, all of us out here see what that play is about. The murder was covered up and now they control him, and he marries Mika Brzezinski, and the two of them go off into la la land spewing propaganda all day long. Well, I can't wait for Trump to win. And the first thing that needs to happen is the people in Florida, the attorney general or whoever's in charge in Florida, needs to open up that murder case, because it seems pretty open and closed to those of us out here.
Well, just to rave on and to support what you're saying, Michael, in the same election that Dmitry Slavolinko wrote a template for winning the election, which was used in not only Google, not only Facebook, but I also believe that these are the algorithms that are used in all of social media. And now it's being said that with a push of a button any minute, since the antitrust suits are going forward with some of the social media groups, they will simply eliminate all Republican conversation on all social media. Now, they tried to do that in 2016 with Eric Schmidt's $1.5 billion donation to the U.S. Digital Service, which had its headquarters in the White House and had all these people from Silicon Valley coming in to work there for short periods of time, but not considering it a donation.
By the way, Douglas, yeah, that may sound like hyperbole, but it's not. They actually had their office in the White House. There's a video of a Google executive coming to work on the first day and show they were bragging about this organization. So this, you're exactly right.
And the intent is what you always point out, the dark profile. What they did is they combined every single e-network, every single digital network, which includes the Office of Business Management, and then they breached the credit companies and stole that information. They breached banks. So every time you hear of a breach before Trump came to power, that went directly to the U.S. Digital Service, which Obama controlled to get Hillary elected.
Yes.
Now, there was already for this election, and well, actually the previous election, there was a George Soros donation through the Atlantic Council, $1.5 billion to Facebook and Google, again, calling it fact-checking when in fact it is squelching free speech and making sure that it is targeted towards an enemy. These are all donations to these companies. And now, of course, you know, Mark of the Zucker Beast is an idiot. He never ran anything. He didn't write the, you know, and who runs it? That's now two Brits run Facebook, Clegg and Allen. And Clegg was the deputy prime minister of Britain. They had to send over their second person, most powerful person, to take over Facebook so that it exists and doesn't get knocked out before the election, because the Brits know that if Trump wins again, he's going to call them out. He already knows they were part of the coup. He knows they started the coup. He knows all of that. And they begged him not to prosecute them. And he said, well, you know, I might hold off for a while. He won't hold off after he's reelected, and he will be reelected. But do not be surprised that George Soros and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and 184 other non-government organizations supported by the billions that George Soros has stolen tax-free from America through his betting on the stock market and also his predatory manipulation of different nations. He has 14 color revolutions that he has helped sponsor with the help of the CIA. And I call him the rogue CIA, but let's just realize every CIA person from this day forward, I'm sorry, if you're in the CIA, you're not an American because you're not a whistleblower. And
well,
if you're a whistleblower, then we would know the truth. And the truth is very simple.
We need to hyphenate. We need to hyphenate that with CIA / MI6.
Correct.
Because once this, at the end of war, I think that these guys, well, we already know that during the war, the CIA was involved with collecting all this gold from the Germans and the Japanese. And we already know from CIA records that many of those agents were making markets on the side of this stolen gold. And we also know that MI6 was pretty much driving the policy for all intelligence globally. It wasn't our U.S. Army security agency. It was the MI6 was giving directions to the security agency, and that never changed. They just changed the name to Five Eyes in 1946. So I think that it is uncanny that the involvement of the British in all things American has been resoundingly silent in the mainstream media. And I think at some point that becomes the tell. The tell is, yeah, that's because we're guilty. That's why we're not talking about it in our propaganda media. It's so clear. The evidence is overwhelming.
And all you have to do, though we have connected it to the past all the way back to Cecil Rhodes and even before, and we've given you the historical roots for it, all you have to do is say, oh, I don't believe this. I'm going to donate to Black Lives Matter. Then follow your donation. Make a $5 donation. See where it ends up. It ends up in George Soros's pocket because Tides Foundation has taken over for Act Blue, which was the charitable organization collecting for the Democratic National Committee, and Antifa, and Black Lives Matter, and many other George Soros-sponsored left-wing NGOs.
Okay, so you mentioned Tides Foundation. Tides Foundation received donations from the Rockefeller Foundation. In fact, probably still does. We have to check the current records. But we're looking at 2009 to 2011, 2012, and the Rockefellers were investing in Tides. So therefore, we see this small circle of individuals, which, if nothing else, proves the nonprofit status is bogus.
And if you need more proof, go back to the first eight chapters of Eustace Mullen's book, World Order. We just gave you a summary of the ninth chapter, because what it does is it gives you a narrative for exactly what we have discovered over the last couple years and have proven with current evidence, some historic evidence, but it's all evidence. So we have proven it. It's not a conspiracy. But when you look in Eustace Mullen's book, the best thing is he didn't have the internet. We have the internet. And so we can use this PSYOPs weapon against the very people that created it to use it against us. And he worked in the Library of Congress, and he did tremendous scholarship. And what he proves is all the banking families go back to exactly where we said it came from. The Venetians, who became the Lombards, who became basically the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, the Fuggers, the Hess, the Wessers, the Kuhn Loeb, the Rockefellers, the J.P. Morgan, they all intermarried. Not a single one of them ever married outside of the family. And every one of these opportunists who were the Secretary of State or of War or whatever, they always marry someone in a banking family. So it's interlocking directorships. When you look at Eustace Mullins, he will list a person and then he'll list 30 top chairmanships and directorships of the biggest companies in the world that these people who have no experience whatsoever are the head of, sometimes only for a year. And then they move on, but it's interlocking. So all they have to do, they don't even have to have a Pilgrim Society dinner. They have to turn to their wife and whisper something in her ear. Then she calls her three sisters, and now all the biggest banks in America know exactly what's going to happen. That's insider trading, and you need to get the banks out of the stock market because that's where the evil is, and you need to get the lawyers out of Washington, D.C. because they create laws like the pandemic laws, which was written by the pharmaceutical companies. It wasn't written by anyone. No one, I bet you, you can't name a person. I bet you, I would bet any amount of money. I'll put a nickel on the line. You can't find a single person in Washington, D.C. that knows there are pandemic laws that control all of this, except for the president of the United States, the director of the HHS, and the preparedness director, the assistant director of the Department of HSS. So anyway, so the deal is nobody knows these laws exist. Why? Because lawyers wrote them for pharmaceutical interests. And who are the people who donate more to the pharmaceutical companies than they make as profits? That would be the giant foundations who then own shares in these pharmaceutical companies. So they're donating to themselves when they already know that they've manipulated the government to give them a government contract ahead of time, just like when the people who donated, the 125, I forget how many nations, but let's just say almost every nation in the world donated to the Clinton Global Initiative because they knew that she was going to be the president and they knew it would be pay to play. And this was the ante. This was anteing up to play in the Clinton Foundation scam, which they took from the Rockefellers, which they took from the Rothschilds, which they took from William Burroughs, Welcome Trust, and so on and so forth. It's the same old story that we've seen all the way back to the 1200s.
Well, you know, I grew up reading a lot of entrepreneurial books and on how to do business and how to make money, how to be an entrepreneur. And you read about these success stories. And of course, when you're younger, you don't question it. You believe that, okay, this guy really must have been a genius to be able to make so many successful investments. What we see now is exactly the opposite. We see a lot of very stupid people, like you said, they take their black sheep and they put them in the CIA. And then those people become members of boards. And when you have inside information about when a stock is going to go up, because your buddies in mainstream media are going to run a bunch of stories that are either favorable to that company, or you want to short the stock. And so you know that either bad news or good news is going to come out on a particular stock, and you then run the stock market. You don't have to be a genius to know what to invest in. That's called insider trading. That's called lying. That's called fraud. That's called racketeering. Let's call these companies that we have always looked up to for their example of success, and call foul on the entire mess, because that's what it is. It's a huge mess, and these people have led generations of entrepreneurs astray into thinking that your hard work and your dedication to your job is going to make a difference. It won't. It may be an accident. Maybe they don't care about your particular market, and so they leave you guys alone. But in the major markets, like I have experienced with the tech market, it's an insider's job. And if that's success, I don't want it. And what we've got to do is raise the level of consciousness here and start living in the country we thought we had. And what I'm realizing is we never had that country. It was on paper. It sounded great. It is good, and I believe can be implemented. But currently, what we've got, a bunch of crooks in these different companies that then hire PR firms to write these glowing stories about them. And oh, I love these stories, because they always go into little bitty details about how this guy, grew up on the south side of Chicago, and you cry a tear when you read these stories, and when you realize the entire story is fake. And they do this over and over again, and then publish these books, and these guys go on the circuit and they tell these lies. And we've got generations of young people and entrepreneurs who have been lied to, and they need to realize they've been lied to. And maybe we can get somewhere then with solving these problems.
Well, these people in the Pilgrim Society actually have a program of global genocide that we can witness right here. Now, we look at a distance with what was going on and what is going on with the Uyghur people in China, and perhaps we're not connected with it. We don't see it as a real thing happening, something that could happen to us. But then when you look and see what's going on in Australia right now, these people, our friends, are being locked down. They can't even leave their homes. They're being arrested in their homes for not wearing their mask. What this is this is the end game of what happens when one set of people believe that they are the elite on the planet and the rest of us are to be harvested. We're harvested for our blood. Our children are used for their sex rituals and their pedophilia. And they've even gone so far now to say that they own the ideas and the creations in an entrepreneur's head. So an entrepreneur like yourself, a creator, goes to the patent office because the brainwashing in your public school told you that that was a safe place to go to protect your idea. And then we find out that the patent office is actually run by the British, by Serco. So they are there first off to steal.
Can I stop you, Tyler? Mm-hmm. Because people don't believe that. Well, when you tell them it's run by the British, they don't believe that.
I keep saying it over and over. Our friend Steve Morton, who had a fantastic painting patent, was stolen right there. He's got the proof of Robert Mueller actually taking it and using it. Never paid a nickel for his thing. But more than that, it's stolen by the government that we thought was going to protect us. So, Right. Folks, when genocide happens, it doesn't happen all at once. It happens. It rolls out. So we need to pay attention to what's going on in Australia next, because they fully intend this to occur here in America.
Well, we have to remember they're a commonwealth, and so therefore they're under the Privy Council in the end. And you're right. I think that's their experimental ground.
You mentioned Privy Council, then we might as well just pull back the curtain. Lord Mark Malik Brown and Jeffrey Paddy are on so many controlling committees of British corporations that are more power, each one of them more powerful than you can imagine, they actually wouldn't have time to go to do nothing but go from meeting to meeting to meeting.
That's right.
Literally. This is no exaggeration. You've already proven this. We've given you the evidence. So these people, let's just take Jeffrey Patty and Lord Mark Malik Brown that are on the Privy Council. They are more than likely on the secret cabinet. There's a cabinet membership of the Privy Council, which no one wants, even the British. You can't find a Brit that could tell you this. They'll say, oh, yes, the Privy Council cabinet members are members of the Parliament cabinet. Incorrect. No, there is a secret cabinet. And that secret cabinet, you don't even have to be a member of the Privy Council or a member of the government to be a counselor in the secret cabinet member for the Privy Council to tell the monarchy what to do. Now, it's not just the monarchy. It's a certain select group of people who sit around who are the biggest bankers in the world and control fortunes that you can't even imagine. We've already listed all of them. If you want it listed, go to Eustace Mullins. If you want endless lists of their interlocking directorships, because these evil people don't even know what that company is doing, let alone that they're the chairman of it, the director of it, or that they're directing the control of that company. No, they come to give orders. That's it. And then they come to get information. It's intelligence. This is corporate espionage. It's corporate intelligence. So what we're really dealing here with is a group that is completely British, though they actually take in anybody they want into that secret chamber, or they'll knight somebody who's an American. And in most of these cases of interlocking directorships, they had wartime positions early on in World War I or II, and those people are still in control, and they're still doing the same things they did before, which is selling us out to war and then giving us the 1943 current tax, which was that's a tax on withholding. In other words, a tax to pay for a war that was created by them even after the fact, after they already took money from the government for the war, and then the bankers charged even Hitler, and they were the bankers for Hitler, they were the bankers for the fascists, the bankers for our side, and then in the end, we had to pay double, triple, quadruple the amount, and then they got huge amount of war booty in gold and diamonds. This is all very well known, as you pointed out, with the very documents that show it. And what did they do with that? Those are in the CIA corporations. It's called the company. And we know that BCCI, we know Nuke and Hand, we know all these CIA banks that have even been closed down. And oh, that's right. The founders all died. Most of them were got too close to a window and fell out. And I'm not making this up. They fall out the six-story window. They fall out the eighth-story window. Isn't that amazing? These incredible CIA bankers don't realize how dangerous a window is. So the point is they, as Eustace Mullins said in an interview, which y'all found and put up on the Cat Report, he said, when asked, why don't you, can you name the real insiders? He says, no, because they'll kill you. So the real insiders are the Pilgrim Society. The real insider is the Privy Council. The real insiders are the people who are now being ran by, the Highlands Forum. In other words, the weaponization of every patent and every technology there is the Highland Forum. And who is there? Those aren't even Americans. There are British representatives in every one of these meetings. So if you don't believe that when you put in a patent, it goes through a system that immediately sends it to Britain for its first examination, the Brits get first choice, okay?
That's correct.
That's in everything, folks. You can't name it from parking meters to control towers for airports to you can't name something the Brits don't have a tax on here in America. Nothing.
Well, we have the press releases from the patent office pronouncing the Serco contracts with the Department of Commerce, which is who's the Secretary of Commerce right now? Wilbur Ross.
Oh, Wilbur, corrupt.
He's the Department of Commerce. He's in charge of the Patent Office. And here we have a Patent Office for the United States being given a contract so that all entrepreneurs in the United States give their ideas to that organization, which is directly associated with the Queen's Golden Share in the UK. Now, how stupid is that? I mean, it's just, and yet we've got a Congress that is totally asleep. Nobody has raised the cry against protecting the ideas of all entrepreneurs in the United States.
Hello?
I mean, it's outrageous.
Hello? Excuse me, where's Jim Jordan? He's a representative in Ohio. You live in Ohio. Why isn't he coming to your defense? He's silent. And as far as Wilbur Ross, we busted him a long time ago. He's so tied to the hip with the Queen. Fine, if Trump can use him to do whatever, but who needs these people? We got to get rid of them. And we need to put people in position when the next term comes around that are true Americans and not this garbage we have in the swamp. These
executive
service and the crown agents.
We ought to make a rule that you cannot serve the United States government if you're an attorney. And I think we ought to have civil engineers in charge.
We need
because we got to have people who know how to get things done and then walk away like George Washington did.
We need to look at biographies. We need to look at their
resumes.
We need to see, are you a Rhodes Scholar? No, you're not qualified to hold a position. What, you sit on an interlocking board ship and with the Rockefellers and all these others? No, sorry, you can't hold that position. It's really easy, but they're in charge right now. They're running the rules, and you've got Kamala Harris there talking about a two-tier justice system and how we need to stop this. Are you kidding me? He's the one running a two-tier justice system, that illegal alien. Why is she even running for office?
Well, she was the secretary she was the attorney general of California.
Yeah, well, we know how she got those jobs. And we know that her husband works for, L.L. Piper, which has 148 lawyers working directly with China. No, these people are as corrupt as can be. And if you follow the history, as you guys just said, you'll see it. Now, I'm going to say something about history so that people get that this isn't a conspiracy. You might say, oh, you guys are crazy. The Rothschilds and the Brits have nothing to do with our most powerful robber barons. Carnegie, Ford, Rockefeller, Warburg, Kuhn Loeb, Lehman Brothers, Schiff, Henry Schroeder, Riggs Bank, Brown Brothers, all Rothschild agents. Now, that sounds like a conspiracy. Let me explain something. If you go to the history books, they're going to tell you Standard Oil started because of the genius of John D. Rockefeller, who during the First World War accidentally got the contract monopoly for all oil that we were providing for everybody, okay? Not only our side and the Russians, but everybody, even the Germans. So here you have Standard Oil selling oil to both sides during the war with a complete monopoly. Oh, well, that's how he got rich. Incorrect. Here's how he got rich. There are three banks in America that are owned by Rothschild. Nobody even wants to talk about their names. One's in Cleveland, one's in Texas, one's in Seattle. But the one in Cleveland said to, because they had owned, 47% of the railroads in America? And they were having too many people vying for the oil. They wanted to control the oil for all the railroads, and railroads were big. That's how most of these big bankers got their really big starts, was in steel and railroads. Anyway, what happened? Rothschild, through that bank in Cleveland, went to Rockefeller and said, we are going to cause all the railroads to give you a monopoly so that you can sell your oil so far below everybody else's that they will be knocked out of business in less than a year. And that's what happened. So the Rothschilds came in through their bank and through their agents, used the Rottenfellers, used John D. Rottenfeller, and basically did a manipulation control for a monopoly, which the government didn't stop. And then he got the monopoly through Bernard Baruch and through Charles Dawes and the people who were controlling the war board. Then he got another monopoly. And then that monopoly continued until he was, of course, one of the largest corporations in the world. And then they put the money into all of these organizations that have lovely sounding names. But name anything the Rockefeller foundations have ever done that's good. And unfortunately, you're not going to find anything. And that's the truth of the matter, except that it will enrich the interlocking directorships of the companies that they own stock in.
Right.
That is the trail, and to hide underneath foundations in a 501c3 is criminal. That's fraud. And we need to go back to the beginning because remember, Carnegie was made by Rothschild. Remember that Ford was when he became huge, was made by Rothschilds, by the bankers, his representatives, J.P. Morgan and Warburg. But remember that on our side, the Federal Reserve was created by one Warburg, but on the German side, Max Warburg was the financier and banker for Kaiser Wilhelm. Okay, you got two brothers on two sides of the ocean causing a war so that they can both get rich.
Yep. Well, we have J.P. Morgan was actually coached by Lord Rothschild. So the Rothschilds are pretty clever about how they hid their activity. But what we see is a banking system in the United States that was wholly created by the British. And then we see a political structure that was wholly controlled by the Pilgrim Society. Our secretaries of state, our secretaries of war, we've got Dean Acheson, we've got Secretary of War Stimson that started the Marshall Plan. And we now see what was going on with the Marshall Plan. That was a consolidation of the banking powers with all that newly acquired Japanese and German gold, which I believe still is in play today. And then now we see where the next Marshall Plan occurred, and it was the Clinton Global Initiative in the summer of 2009, sanctioned by the president, who was the keynote speaker, and then a group of participants. And we haven't yet gotten the full list. We're actually working on that right now, Douglas. And I wonder how close it's going to be to 300 people.
Probably be the American Committee of 300. But I just want to underscore as we sign off that what you have recently discovered because of the interlocking directorships through false charitable foundations that are hiding under 501c3s and basically stealing money and then giving it back to themselves through political manipulation of these NGOs, all we have to do is take your recent report and go after each of those foundations. That would close all the Clinton foundations, all the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Fords and Tide Foundation. Bye-bye, George Soros. It would close them all if they would simply, they being the government, follow the law. That's all we need. So thank you for giving them the tool that they need, the hammer that they need to end this political machination through control of charitable funds.